The Sudanese Armed Forces and the Sudan People's Liberation Movement North have been clashing in South Kordofan pretty much nonstop for a year. Claudio Gramizzi, an independent researcher who creates reports for the Switzerland-based Small Arms Survey, has just returned from the region.
In terms of the impact of the conflict, what seems to be, pretty clear to everybody is that for civilians it did have a massive impact.
Gramizzi describes abandoned fields where farmers have not been cultivating crops for fear of getting hit by aerial bomb attacks from the SAF.
Everybody tell you, well, you know, there were the aircraft every day was overflying. From time to time you have a bomb coming down. We were too scared. We could not take care of our fields.
If the attacks continue, farmers will likely miss the planting season this year, too. And as far as the main road to South Sudan goes, Gramizzi says an already difficult trip is about to become impossible.
I actually had to travel from the border to Juba by car myself, and it took me 3 days. There were already a lot of vehicles blocked in the mud, so the expectation is basically that you have another couple of rains, and then the road will be blocked for the next at least 3 months.
Ryan Boyette, an American who lives in South Kordofan and is sympathetic to the SPLMN, confirms that people there are in bad straits.
We see people in, whether they're in their homes or in caves or under trees, they're all picking leaves of certain trees that they boil for hours and eat.
Boyette and Gramizzi both say the Sudanese government has not allowed humanitarian aid organizations to bring food and other supplies into the region. Gramizzi says that's because Khartoum is trying to force civilians to move into government-controlled territory. For instance, Gramizzi describes what happened after a SAF attack in Abu Hashim.
People ran away and vacated the village, and then when they came back 2 or 3 days later, they discovered that a lot of things were looted, and then like all the stores of food had been somehow destroyed.
But the Sudanese embassy here in Washington, D.C., denies Khartoum as blocking aid. In an email response to a request for an interview, an embassy spokesperson writes, "The challenge is getting aid to citizens without it falling into the hands of the rebels." And, he says, the government's aggressive measures are aimed at restoring security to the area. American Ryan Boyette says those measures do not seem to be working to Khartoum's benefit.
When Sudan Armed Forces comes into a village and completely burns down houses or does aerial bombardment in villages, it enrages the people that are living here, and they end up joining the SPLM North to fight against their government.
Claudio Gramizzi with the Small Arms Survey says the SPLMN appears to be controlling the region and that morale is high. Knowing what's happening on the SAF side is harder, he says. But it appeared to him that even though Sudan had airplanes and helicopters, they did not have trained soldiers or new recruits. For VOA News, I'm Kelly Nuxall.